If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I want to thank YouBeauty.com and Morning Night Multivitamins helping us out here weekly on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. It's time for What's Toxic and What's Not with our weekly toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What'stoxic.com is his website. Let's cook up a little turkey here, Gary. I guess assume, Dr. Mike, that's where you want to go first, right?
Absolutely.
Cook it up, Gary.
Well, you know, we all like to think of our turkey as being wholesome and pure, and in many cases it is, but, you know, the turkeys that come from big factory production mills, they use a lot of antibiotics to try to make sure that the birds don't get sick and that they grow maximally without any sniffles. And all those antibiotics is a real concern for antibiotic-resistant bacteria to be present in or antibiotics, for that matter, to be present in the birds. So number one rule of thumb is if you can buy local, free-range turkeys, you're better off in general. Maybe you're more expensive, but I know a lot of those farms have sprung up in recent years. But number two, assuming you do have a commercial turkey, the concern about bacteria can be cut down quite a bit if you do the three stages of thawing, cutting, and cooking properly, so that you are not a bacteriological hazard to everyone at your dinner table. And so the thawing bit, I think a lot of people understand, you're not supposed to thaw a frozen turkey on the benchtop in your kitchen. It should be thawed 2 days in advance in the refrigerator. That way, no one part of it gets warm while the other part of it's still frozen. Makes common sense, but something people, not everybody does. So you want to thaw it evenly and slowly. Number two is cutting. So when you're cutting raw turkey, especially either before Thanksgiving or after, when you're cutting up leftovers, you want to use a separate cutting board or be really careful with utensils and the cutting board to make sure you don't carry over any bacteria onto, say, your salad cutting board, because you can really get people sick that way. And number three, cooking. Again, to kill off any bacteria, especially, as we say, the methicillin-resistant bacteria, you want to make sure you cook it evenly and get the inside of the bird, because it's such a big beast to cook at once. It may not cook evenly. You get that thermometer, that oven thermometer, that cooking thermometer, inside the bird, right inside where the stuffing goes, and make sure it's at least 165 degrees, and then you know that you've cooked it throughout, and there's no chance you're going to have live bacteria on your dinner table.
All right. Thanksgiving advice.
So 165 degrees with the thermometer, and
yes, with the right.
Go ahead.
Thermometer inside where, and the stuffing. You know, the best way to do with the stuffing is to actually cook it in a separate casserole dish. It's more guaranteed to not be harboring bacteria and not cook improperly in the innards there. But most people do stuff the turkey. Just make sure you get the thermometer into the stuffing.
What else do you like on Gary's list here today, Dr. Mike?
Well, let's go to what happens with water and skin cancer, since you were so curious about that, Joe.
Yeah, increased skin cancer from drinking water is a special or specific kind of water.
Yeah, well, we usually think of the sunshine or tanning beds as being the major cause of skin cancer, and they are. But if you lived in Taiwan where the groundwater was high in arsenic, there was a lot of excess skin disease and also skin cancer, not just cancer, but also other kinds of skin diseases in Taiwan, and they figured out it was from the arsenic. So the epidemiology literature is well-versed in arsenic and skin cancer. However, this latest data is not from the Far East. It's from right here in New Hampshire at moderate to low levels of arsenic coming from the tap water because people on private wells in rocky, hilly terrain tend to have higher potential of arsenic in the water. And also, if you're eating rice, especially brown rice, that could have some arsenic in it. So they did a study of about 400 skin cancer cases versus controls, found the higher the urinary level, which is a marker of how much toxic form of arsenic you are ingesting, the higher the level, the more skin cancer those folks got. And these are not heroic, really crazy high doses of arsenic. These are very moderate levels. So it just shows that what you drink really does matter. The arsenic in your rice really could matter in terms of your long-term risk combined with some light of skin cancer. And so the idea is test your well. If you are on a private well, nobody's going to test it but you. Make sure the arsenic level is below 10 micrograms per liter, the national standard. You want to also make sure that your rice you're eating is coming from a place like overseas or California. The rice from Texas and the American South has been shown to be about 3 times higher in arsenic. So these are some of the ways to cut down on your arsenic exposure.
Hey, that product of origin thing that starts today, Dr. Mike, that'll help with this, right?
Absolutely.
We verified. Well,
the product of origin. I know that was applying to meat. Was that also applying to rice?
It does not refer to rice, but it's going to get, as we get used to it, my guess is it'll get spread to bigger areas.
Yeah, but I've looked at lots of bags of rice in the supermarket. It usually says whether it's California rice. If it just says domestic, made in the USA, it's probably not California. You might want to look for the California or the imported.
All right, and propyl bromide, Dr. G. What's the issue here?
So when we sit on a car seat or a nice, soft, comfortable couch seat, we're sitting on cushions that have been put together, foam cushions that have been glued together and cut in factories. And we have been talking on this show about polybrominated diphenyl ethers, but this is a different chemical that is used not to be a flame retardant, but to be a glue holding this this foam together. And N-propyl bromide has been allowed as a replacement for harsher, more toxic chemicals, starting with trichloroethane, which was an ozone-depleting gas. They got rid of that about 20 years ago. They started using methylene chloride, a very toxic solvent for this glue. Got rid of that, and that was that N-propyl bromide, which the director, a friend of mine, Adam Finkel, back in 1999, the director of OSHA said was too toxic for workers to use. But he, as the director of OSHA, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, was unsuccessful of getting that phased out. Workers, the New York Times just did a big piece on this. Workers are still getting neurotoxic, nerve-damaging effects. So the bottom line here is that if you are in an industry that's using a lot of adhesives to put things together like foam, car seats, you want to make sure that you know what you're working with. You've looked at the MSDS, that you've got adequate respiratory ventilation. Some of these workers are using spray guns filled with liquid glue, and the solvent is getting over everything and everybody, and they're inhaling quantities. And, you know, this goes back to the bad old days of industrial hygiene. So really, if you are working in an industry, know what you're working with. Try not to be breathing in anything that could be damaging to your long-term health. And this article makes a big point of saying that OSHA is good at preventing short-term risks, like you passing out at work, but the long-term damage, like cancer and long-term nerve damage, the regulations don't do such a good job of preventing.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, check it out, whatstoxic.com. And he's with us every week here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Coming up after the break, straight talk from the docs, Dr. Mike, Dr. Arthur Perry, with some issues that they'll talk about. Any questions along the way you have for them, you can email along questions or comments at udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, and add us to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk, a special news and update section you can customize on iHeartRadio Talk. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.